on this segment, Tom Horn, Skywatch TV. Tom Horn, great intellectual mind, as well as Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, talking about a number of different things that are relevant to today. It's shifting total focus now, but important. It's important that we do so. And but before we get with Mr. Horn and Mr. Quayle, Portions of Nice Broadcast, as I mentioned, brought to you by Omaha Steaks. If you've got that business colleague or someone within the business community that you perhaps would like to give a gift to, this is Omaha Steaks has the perfect business gift. It's simple to give and a joy to get. In fact, you can even send one to yourself. In fact, I'd urge you to do that. That's exactly what Omaha Steaks business gifts deliver, is joy. I'm going to tell you, I had an occasion where I had to send something. I wanted to send something to a colleague who did something really, really nice for me that he didn't have to do. And I figured, okay, you know, I can't wash his car, but I can send him a box of steaks or a box from Omaha Steaks. And that's what I did. And then he called me 2 days later, 2 days after getting it, and saying, man, I just finished it was a couple of steaks. My wife and I just finished a couple of steaks, and thank you so very much. It was a huge hit. Here's Omaha Steaks, best business gifts around. They have gourmet food gifts that appeal to everyone. The gifts offer unique home cooking experience. You want to talk about cooking with your wife or cooking on the grill, perhaps with a buddy. This is what Omaha Steaks delivers in addition to a quality product. It's a trusted brand known for quality as well. They offer free shipping on most packages and everything. All gifts are 100% guaranteed. Satisfaction is guaranteed. Right now, you can experience for yourself what makes these business gifts so unique. Here's the exclusive offer. Exclusive to Hagman listeners. Here's the deal. Listen to what the perfect business gift includes. 4 or 5 ounce bacon wrapped tri-tip steaks. That was the steak that the gentleman called and said, man, they were just fantastic. 4 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 3-ounce gourmet franks, 2 4-ounce boneless pork chops, 4 3-ounce kielbasa sausages, plus, listen to this, free shipping and 4 free caramel apple tartlets. And you have to wrestle one of them out of my hand. Just for our listeners, this exclusive package is only $59.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, type HH in the search bar, and choose that perfect business gift, or the perfect business gift, that is. Again, visit omahasteaks.com, enter code HH in the search bar to send or experience for yourself this exclusive gift package for only $59.99. That's omahasteaks.com, search bar HH. And have at it, folks. Enjoy. Now, again, two people I admire a lot, Joe and I both admire, two people that are going to be at Branson at the True Legends Conference, Gen 6, Tom Horn and Steve Quayle. And that conference is going to be second to none, I believe. It's going to just make your, it's just going to, anyone who's lucky enough to be able to attend that conference is going to be so blessed. And you know, Pastor Langford is going to be ministering there, and Tom Horn's going to be there, Steve Quayle's going to be there. It's just going to be so much fun. And I certainly can't wait for it. And I know those people who have signed up, to attend can't wait. But if you are one of the people who want to see it but cannot attend or haven't, were unable to, didn't make the cutoff, you can purchase the live stream or the DVD. Just go to the link under our program description or go to stevequayle.com and click on the link for the live streaming or the DVD. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you when the guests come on, or for the guests. I'm not sure if they're... Oh, we got right. A thumbs up on both. Okay, that's great.
Let's do this. Let's bring on Tom Horn. Tom, welcome back to the Hagman Report. It's been a while since you've been on, and it's great to have you back.
Hey, it's great to be on with you guys, Joe, and Doug. And Doug's making me hungry. I think Steve ought to send all of us a big box of those Omaha steaks.
There you go. You know what? Boy, you're looking. I'll tell you what. I saw the panel up here. You're looking good, Tom. And I can't wait to see you in Branson.
You're going to be there. Well, I'm really happy about that. And
well, I'm sneaking in. I'm gonna dress up as a janitor, and I'm gonna, because I'm good at doing that. Anyway,
yeah.
But Steve, are you there, my brother?
Yep, I'm here. And, you know, Doug, this has been a marvelous thing, and I want to just share something right at the start of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had people from all over the world respond to sign up for the live streaming or to get the DVD sets because they know that God's getting ready to move in their lives. And I've even gotten into arguments with people saying it's not the same not being there. I got news for you. God is touching people all over the world, and I get the emails from them talking about just how important the show is. And earlier today, I put up on my website one of those stories you had written, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of you would be totally in the dark. This is what I basically was saying. Without Doug's show, where would you get the information that Tom and I and Pastor Langford and Henry Groover and all the different guests that Doug has had on, where will you go? Because, you know, Doug, I can speak as number four. I think there was a spy movie called Number Four. If I'm number four on the who's who and the worst of the world in alternate right publishing, number one was Drudge, number two was Breitbart, number three was Alex, and number four was me, then that means they've been lying all this time about all my analytics. So if people don't understand that the first war against the Christians has already started, and that's to economically attack them and to cut them off from any stream of revenue, well, ladies and gentlemen, that affects Doug Hagman big time. And if I told you, you know, what's gone on, and I, you know, I never talk out of school. In confidence, I keep confidence. But I will say this. Those of us who have been blessed, and I do put my money where my mouth is, I'm telling you, you need to really ask God if this ministry of Hagman and Hagman, this radio broadcast, is worthy of your tithes, if you believe in tithing. I do. I believe a lot of people miss it. Tithing was not instituted after the law. It was instituted between Melchizedek and Abraham, and a lot of people, including me, believe that was a, if you will, a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Now, people will argue with me, Tom, over everything, and they'll argue with that thing. But here's the thing: for as long as it's possible for you to make some effort to help this show, Doug has expanded three shows, and basically, what all of us are trying to do, whether it's Tom, myself, or Doug, we're on a crash course against the time that will be when there will be no way to get the information out to you. Tonight, Tom and I are going to talk about some of the rudimentary things of the faith, and I've been getting a lot of emails that people don't understand why this is important to salvation or issues. I'll even go on to say that when Charisma Magazine says, Houston, don't listen to the doom and gloom prophets of destruction, well, evidently that the mayor would fit into that, the mayor of Houston would not fit into that category because he had the chance to warn the people and didn't, then became incredibly belligerent. I don't think, Doug, that people understand the price that you pay, and I won't go into private details, but I'm just saying this, ladies and gentlemen, please, if this show means anything to you, I would encourage you to stand, support, and send your checks or whatever. Now, look, we don't do this often, and Doug never does it, but I'll do it for him. And for the record, I've been on, I said to him in the past, Doug, as long as God wants you on, he'll continue to provide. And then when he doesn't provide, then he wants you off. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you make the decision. God will do what God's going to do. But if you understood the war that is against anybody that's telling the truth, so I rebuke the word alt-right, and I would say this, the truth tellers, the InfoWars that Alex has used as one of his descriptors, Skywatch TV, Tom has done a magnificent job of influencing some of the most pointed authors of the day, or on-point authors and authoresses, I guess. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're fighting a battle against, number one, the Prince of Darkness, number two, against Google Analytics, number three, against the Prince and Power of the Air and his minions, whether they're demons, fallen angels, you name it. And so, you know, it comes to the point where not only does the whole world lie in the evil one, but now the whole world is at war. Whether you believe or not is, and I find it interesting, Doug, people that absolutely want to take me apart or Tom apart or you apart, they still turn in and tune in and turn on this show because they know that something deep inside them, they can say, well, I just call, you know, tune in to mock you or hear the newest nonsense from you. But I think it goes beyond that. I think point blank that magazine, or the woman says, don't listen to the doom and gloom prophets of destruction. And that's, she said, and that's why people have a bad taste about prophecy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's your job to judge not only prophecy, but to take the things that Tom and I talk to and take it to the Lord. And I want to deal with one issue right now, Tom, and I think this will save talk and emails later. 2 Timothy 2:14 through 16. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness. Now, I've gotten emails from people that say, well, you're not even to deal with myths and legends and all this stuff. You need to talk about Jesus. For the record, critics, for the record, this is all about Jesus, because it seems to me, Doug, that even those who claim to be Christians have a real hard time with the truth. Now, I'm going to read this. The original Greek words are equally pungent. Profane is the Greek babalos, meaning sacrilegious or irreverent or vulgar. The term vain babblings is one Greek word, kinophonia, meaning empty soundings. The admonition refers not so much to vulgar street-corner conversation, however, but more to the irreverent metaphysical speculations and verbose meanderings of evolutionary humanists. And I would say this, contemporary science. Christians who aspire to peer approval by pseudo-intellectuals of the educational, scientific, or theological establishments are especially in need of Paul's counsel on this topic. Christians should not enter into dialogue with those who engage in such profane and vain babblings. Rather, we are to shun such conversations. We are to avoid them. That was Henry Morris. But here's what I said, and this goes into tonight's show that Tom and I will be talking about. I said, the average Christian has no idea of how to deal with Ephesians 6. Jesus warned us that the days of Noah would return prior to the coming of the Son of Man. The world has embraced Satanism, the occult and New Age, largely because a Christian chose not to be educated and involved in spiritual warfare. This resulted in the salt having lost its savor and henceforth the trampling underfoot of the Son of God. God's people don't want responsibility, but they will be held accountable. They may say Jesus saves, to which I answer, from what? These same people don't understand vain babblings have a totally different meaning. Intellectual arguments is what Paul is talking, or Timothy's talking about, to which the Apostle Paul stated that the power of God does not stand in the strength of the arguments, but in demonstration of the power of God. Remember, the Greeks worshipped the fallen angels, who masqueraded as their gods. The Titans, fallen angels, and the Olympians, the offspring of the fallen angels, and that's who they worship. I find the ones who quote the scripture are both clueless and generally cowards when it comes to reality, wanting to kiss the devil's behind to go along to get along with the world. Now, somebody says, what kind of talk is that for somebody who claims to be a Christian? Well, number one, I claim that all who call upon the name of Lord Jesus Christ in repentance shall be saved. So the point is that this whole Branson Conference, never in the history of conferences, and nobody can speak to that issue better than Tom Horn, because I think, you know, Tom, you've been at every one. I'm going to turn it right over to you. It's to equip the saints. You need to first understand who your enemy is. You need to understand how that enemy is influencing society. You need to understand why there is a global conspiracy of ultimately the destruction of Christians, the global destruction through transhumanism and genetic engineering to destroy the very image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think it's important that, you know, people recognize that live streaming, by the way, because we have to buy it in blocks of 1,000, there's only 330 spots left open. Now, a lot of people didn't take us seriously when we said, look, the conference is going to sell out. By the way, Tom said you're going to sell it out, you know, way faster than you thought. So the reason that we do what we do and are bringing this conference together, and for the record, you guys, some of these conferences take a year to put into place, and there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on, not to mention all the background support, all the people that are going to make everything working, you know, our 10 by 30 foot television screen. The reason that we're doing this is to give you what I believe is your end-time understanding. And then Henry Gruber, you know, a marvelous man of God, and David Langford will be preaching and teaching and sharing with you how to equip the saints. Listen, the saints are caught with their pants down, literally. The saints are caught being mocked. If you haven't seen the London Daily Mail mocking Joel Osteen, then you haven't probably seen the rest of the world. Well, many of the black churches immediately opened up their congregations and their churches to those who were needing help. Some of the more well-knowns, obviously well-known preachers, Osteen being the head, didn't do it until he was shamed into doing it. That's not lost on God. So in essence, what's happening, in my opinion, is the people that don't want to listen to doom and gloom, prophets of destruction, well, they just threw out, and this woman, I intend to answer her specifically, they just threw out the Old Testament prophets. She just basically mocked Jesus and the book of Revelation, because it isn't all have a group hug, sing kumbaya, and can't we all get along with the world. That's total blasphemy, it's total heresy, and it's feel-good, Christianity, and feel-good Christianity won't feel so good when the full force and fury of war that's coming. Tom can talk about that. He's talked about that in his new book, Saboteurs. But Tom, let's give people, and this is a good place to start, and I'll turn it over to you, how you got started on this research, because you're an Assembly of God pastor in your background. You were basically high up in the Assembly of God and dealing with a lot of their programs and bringing those guys into the 20th century. Maybe the 21st century. So how did you get started? I think people need to understand that the people that are going to be at Branson are very different from a lot of the people that attend a lot of conferences, meaning those who are speakers. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so I'll get onto that. But you got me wanting to say a couple of things here. You're talking about persecution of people that are preachers of the truth. This was exactly what happened with Jesus Christ. He came preaching the truth. He even talked about how that generation reminded him of a bunch of children that wanted to sit around on the streets and say, pipe for us so that we can dance. Tell us happy, happy, joy, joy thoughts. And he did tell them some happy thoughts, but he also gave them the truth. And, you know, the ever fine meals, both salt and pepper, right? I mean, you have to deal with reality. And right now, the reality is there is a significant darkness. We'll talk about some of that tonight. You mentioned my new book, Saboteurs. That's going to be out in October. And I'm going to do two things with that. I'm going to give people a money-back guarantee because it's the best thing I've ever written. It's the most important thing I've ever written. But the other thing I'm going to do is put a warning on it. Frankly, there are Christians who should not read this book. Truthfully, they should not read it. It's going to scare them. It's going to upset them. And it's because it's a no-holds-barred investigation into the deep occultism in Washington, D.C., some of which I want to be able to talk about tonight. But before we get to all that, Steve, you kind of got my motor turning here, because what we do is we talk about prophecy. Jesus talked about prophecy. All of Matthew 24, all of Matthew 24, he's talking about what's going to come in the end of times, Luke 17, all these portions of Scripture in which he's talking about the signs of the end times. Well, one of the signs of the end times is what you're talking about right now, a period in history wherein true believers are going to be persecuted, true believers. And in fact, you know, we did this program, you and me and the Hagmans did this program a year ago, A Blood on the Altar, the coming war between Christian versus Christian. So it isn't just persecution of Christians by outsiders. It's one whole side of the modern-day denominationalism, and the Bible says about them that not only are we going to be beheaded for our witness of Jesus Christ, but the day is coming when those who deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you are going to think that they are in the service of God. And so it doesn't surprise me, Steve and Joe and Doug, that we're seeing this division now that's happening, where you have those who are saying, don't listen to those prophets of doom. Come over here and let's all sing kumbaya. because this was the way it was at the time of Christ. It's the way it's prophesied to be at the end of time. It's actually a sign that we're entering into a period called the Great Tribulation Period, in which the man of sin is going to behead those who will not worship him. The beast, the false prophet, is going to cause the organized church to give power unto his image, to bow down before him. So that's exactly what's happening. I'm glad you opened the show by bringing that up, Steve.
And, you know, if I could just say this, Steve, Blood on the Altar, it, to me, is one of the most relevant books today. Reading that again here over the last couple of weeks, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, it's just, it really strikes at the heart of what's going on. And to think that, you know, Tom, what you just said, to think that we'll have Christians taking us to the gallows, literally and figuratively, of course, but literally taking us to the gallows, chopping our heads off, or at least with their facilitation and applause, is chilling, to say the least. And yeah, you're right on the money, and you've always been ahead of the curve in all of this. So thank you. And Saboteurs, just from what I know of it, and I'm sneaky this way. I'm an investigator, so I'm allowed to be. But it's gonna be. I think you're right. I think it should come with a warning label, and perhaps your best work ever. So thank
you
for that.
Well, I don't ever tell people this is my best work ever, because if I'm working on a book project like this one right now, Unearthing the Lost World of the Cloud Eaters, the documentary film, if I'm doing it, it's because I'm into it. I had some rare opportunities that are outlined in that book, and we're not talking about that tonight, so I won't roll off on it. Maybe
yes,
we'll come back and do a different show
sure.
on it. But I had real opportunities. I mean, I went back to the house of the temple. We got beneath the surface, but I'm going back right after the conference, Steve. I'm going back to Washington, D.C. I'm going to be meeting with Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis at the Pentagon, where I'm going to be introduced to some different people there. But there's a whole lot that's going to come out in this, and let's just say that it makes Pizzagate look like a 12-year-old's birthday party. So, and maybe we'll talk about that too. But now let's talk about, how did I get started this whole unearthing the lost world of the cloud eaters? You have this groundbreaking book. It's the first book ever by me and Steve Quayle together. That's one surprise to a lot of people, since we've been doing radio since the shortwave radio days. You know, everybody thinks that we've done a dozen books together. We haven't. This is actually the very first time. And then there's the documentary film from Gen 6 Productions, which is, again, setting the bar on how fine Christian filmmaking ought to be made. And then there's the conference, and the conference is almost sold out right now. I talked to the guy that's helping us with this here just a couple of days ago. It's Steve's conference. I'm just there, and I'm going to be part of it, and I'm going to speak. There's only a limit of just under 3,000 seats. And almost every one of them is sold already. It's going to be sold by the time we get there. So if people are listening to this program tonight and they want to be there in person, man, they need to run right now to the website.
Tom? Yeah. Hey, Tom, I need to interrupt you. There is no more space because we've got to abide by it, you know. So there are only positions, 370 left for live streaming.
Oh, I got you. So there's only 370 left for live streaming. Wow. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, so people need to do that. So there's going to be right at 3,000 of us that are going to be at the what do they call the place where we're going,
the mansion.
Yeah, the Branson Mansion, big, beautiful,
yep.
Gorgeous performance theater. This is where the Oak Ridge Boys do like 25 concerts a year and a whole bunch of other really well-known group. So gigantic stage with all the lights. I'm just hoping Steve can use some of those lights to make me look pretty. But big huge place, and it's just packed to the walls. Then every seat in it is sold, and then people around the world are going to be watching the live stream. Well, if there's only 300 or whatever you just said left, they need to do that. You're going to be there, Steve. I'm going to be there. L.A. Marzulli is going to be there presenting, of course. Timothy Alberino, Dr. Michael Lake is going to be there. You mentioned Pastor Langford earlier. Derek Gilbert, the host of Skywatch Television, is going to be there. Anselm Piorambla. I mean, I'm really looking forward. You know, this guy is a legendary European adventurer. And he, I think he's going to be bringing, I've heard some stuff behind the scenes, maybe I shouldn't even mention it and not give it up, but he's going to be bringing some stuff on maybe the Vatican and some of his work there. But yeah, nothing like this before. And by the way, if you limit conferences in the United States just to prophecy-themed conferences, there's no other conference in the nation that even comes close to how well this has sold out, Steve. So kudos to you. It does show that in spite of the fact that you're being listed, you know, by some of these fake news, hate group, washed up, right-wing watch, whatever they're called, news agencies, that the majority of people out there that are attuned to the times are very much interested in and want to know. They want to know. They want to know the facts of what has happened, is coming, but also what can they do about it if they want to be empowered to know what actions they can take. And, of course, I know that Pastor Langford and some of the Henry Groover will be able to also give them the biblical equipment to be able to deal with what is coming upon the earth so that they, too, will not have hearts failing them for fear, right?
Exactly, and I think to everyone that's listening, this is a time of equipping of the saints. Tom and I and L.A. Marzulli and Anselm Piorambla and Derek Gilbert, and Derek will be moderating our roundtable, Tom, between you and I and Tim, and you know, we'll try and cover the most prescient information and the most commonly asked questions. But going through this whole, if you will, over and over in my head, I think this thing has been so orchestrated by the living God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we could not have arranged in South America what came out. And those of you that were there with us on the True Legends expedition were blown away, too, because you watched a very high-ranking, quote, Vatican officials lie to your faces and tell you that Father Gamarra, by the way, Tom, was the guy that gave Anselm Piorambla the permission to excavate in the Coricancha into the Shinkana, the underground tunnel system that basically everybody knew existed, but the official position of the church is there is no such thing. And why this is important is because Anselm, basically, and this guy's been all over the world, one of the most famous explorers in the world, and some of the most striking adventures the exposure of so much hidden archaeology and real archaeology. There was an attempt, even while we were there, they said that Father Gamarra was not on the premises. And lo and behold, he literally shows up in the courtyard. We got him on film stating, you know, and he called Anselm middle initial and name, and he acknowledged and said on camera, yes, it's all true. Even while we got the guys in their multi-$1,000 suits, their mics, their headphones, people flipping out, you know, trying to deny it, trying to basically say, you can't film, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I love it. I called it God's sense of humor, because they were telling us that we can't do this, we can't do that, and in walks the man that can validate it all. But what we're trying to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to bring you six different viewpoints of not overlapping investigation, but unique. And see, this is kind of like the temple that was built in the wilderness. Everything has been built separately, and now God himself is bringing the pieces of the puzzle together. And, you know, I've quoted Newton's statement that at the time of the end, God's going to raise up a group of men who are going to be given to prophecy, but it's going to be amongst much clamor and opposition. Tom, you quoted the scripture that there'll be coming a time when men will kill us, claiming they're doing God a favor. I already see the lines being drawn. I believe this charisma article, and I will answer that woman, is the first shot or salvo. If Jesus himself said, just as in the days of Noah, you've got to understand, we live in George Orwell's prophetic written world now, and he made the statement, they who control the past determine the future. I believe that by the time you've listened to Derek Gilbert talking about Inception, you've listened to Dr. Michael, you know, I'm sorry.
Lake?
I'm sorry, Dr. Michael Lake. I'm just trying to keep the order in my head. He did the most marvelous job on Doug, your show last week. He was exquisite. So when you hear all these guys, L.A., Timothy Alberino, who's got this stuff dialed in like nobody's tomorrow, and plus he's half my age, Tom, the thing is that that's important because the young people have got to grow up in the things of God, turn off their video games, turn off the devil vision, and begin to seek the truth, to seek the truth of God's Word. And you know, I'm concerned, Doug, for the generation now that is right behind ours, I guess they'd almost be now our grandchildren's age coming up, is that fact that they know not God. The hunger for things of God, it's dying out. The wax of, the love of many is waxing cold. The salt has lost its savor. And, you know, you can go on wanting to make happy talk in Charisma Magazine, and that's even a misnamed magazine if they're taking that position, because the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. If Jesus didn't think the days of Noah were important, and just as Tom listed Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 10 or 11, and all the prophecies of Daniel, all the prophecies of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Amos, Haggai, Hosea, Zechariah. These are not in order, by the way. I'm just saying this. And the greatest prophet of all is Jesus. And when, if people will not listen to that, and, you know, I understand now where, basically there has been a gospel ignorance that has resulted in the divorce from those who claim to know Jesus as Lord and Savior to not even believing that anymore, claiming Jesus is a metaphor of good, the devil's a metaphor of evil, and that, you know, Jesus just came along to help us live better lives. That's horse manure. Without the blood of Jesus, there is no redemption. So why is this situation in Branson so important? I can tell you this, that when men of God like Henry and David Langford are praying and fasting, calling on God to make and to move amongst the people of God, something's going to happen. And I mean that for a good state. We're going to give you the background. And, it, you know, some people say, well, it's so scary. No, it's not scary. Your primary weapon in overcoming fear is knowing what is coming on the horizon. What do you think people go to fortune tellers and read chicken entrails or basically, you know, do horoscopes or do all the things or, you know, do human sacrifice? They want to know what the future holds. And so just as they who control the past determine the future, they're doing everything they can to try and get in to the space-time continuum and to change history. Well, I got news for you. The God of heaven allows them only to go so far. So when people tell you time is speeding up, it literally is speeding up because it's a biblical statement for the elect's sake. And, you know, the idea simply is this. In Branson, you'll be presented with, I would say, six very, very determined and I would say highly researched efforts of everyone that has even been invited to that. And it's not that we think that we know everything or that nobody knows anything else, and I've had people suggest that because they're not invited. I say, look, this thing came together fast. This is who the Lord laid on my heart, and I've never met Dr. Michael Lake. I just recently met L.A. Marzulli in Peru. And obviously I know Derek from his interviews, and I actually coined a term, Tom. I don't know if you know this, but I now have a new word. It's called Encyclopedia Gilbertica. Sounds like you know how to speak Spanish.
I know, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think there's somebody that can do a better interview than Derek. That's not flattery. That's not, you know, anything other than that. So the purpose of all of this at Branson, and then that for you to take it forth from that, is to get you trained. Because I'm telling you this, when what continues to happen, that's already happening in Houston, and if you haven't noticed, ladies and gentlemen, the entire red state area along the Gulf Coast, now going up the East Coast, isn't it interesting? It sure isn't hitting California, and it sure isn't hitting the liberal, if you will, I call it hellhole states. What it's hitting is the red states. And so we're talking about gasoline. You know, Tom, I posted, I think, an alert yesterday in my alert section and told everybody gas is going to dry up and then it's going to be food. People don't understand. Houston is not only one of the biggest ports in the United States, third largest city, but it feeds. It literally, and no pun on the word, but it provides food and all the goods, the entire East Coast going up into the central plains of the United States. So it's already in the land. The famine is coming. And if you think $8 to $10 a gas for gasoline, which is now being seen in Dallas, wait until you see $10 for a can of soup, you know, chunky bee soup, $10. You think that's so far-fetched? You watch it. You see, I've come to the point, and you know I've said this, Doug, you know I've said this, Tom, but people don't want to know the truth because, quote, it scares them. It's not that it scares them primarily. It's that it demands action on their part. How many people stayed in Houston seeing the horrific satellite pictures because they listened to the words of a man who, obvious now in retrospect, has lost all credibility, the mayor, and this is the same thing over and over and over. I posted another alert, and it's all based on prophecy by my friend, and she's a former DHS FEMA, you know, emergency management person, telling that they knew about this hurricane months ago, and the whole thing is the moving of entire populations out of areas into control zones. I know her. She is who she says she is. So how is this important to what we're talking about tonight? I know Tom Horn very well. We've spent a lot of time, a lot of years on talk radio. I think a room in their home is devoted to Steve. I've been out there so many times. And thank you and Nita for your lovely hospitality. But the point is that we're doing what God has called us to do. And Tom, you know, go ahead and share how you got into this. Because I think, you know, the Bible says, know them that labor amongst you. And I don't think people understand that, you know, the amount of background, blessing, movement, disappointments, discouragements, everything that God does to bring a person, a man or a woman, to the point where he can use them. And as you said, you thought you would retire. So share your story, because I think it's pretty amazing.
Well, and so one final thing, because you keep firing up my motor here. People need to know that, again, it's Bible prophecy that the day is coming when it says the Antichrist is going to be given power to make war against the saints and to overcome them. So that's the reason that we don't try to put, you know, sugar on every cake we serve, that if we are truly moving into a prophetic era of time, people like you and I would have said, get out of your houses, move now. How heartbreaking was it, Stephen? You recall this, by the way. When Fukushima first happened, all of us, you sell emergency supplies, I sell emergency supplies, and we were all sold out in one day. The rest of the year, you're sitting there, you've got all these supplies, the warehouses are full, people can get potassium iodide, they can get nuke detectors, they can get all this stuff, gas masks, they get long-term storage food, water purification systems, they can get all this stuff. It's just sitting there ready, right? It's not even all that expensive. But they just don't do it. And then all of a sudden you have a Fukushima, and we've got stuff that's coming that's going to put Fukushima to shame. Now everybody's clamoring, well, we sold out in one day. In one day we were out of everything, and we had backlogged orders for 6 months. In fact, we had to just start giving people's money back. We had to just start saying we can't take orders. Remember Mountain House Foods shut down their website? ThyroSafe Potassium Iodide shut down their website. They just said, sorry, folks, there's nothing. You're on your own. Well, that is why people should do what you said a moment ago, Steve. When they can, as they have the opportunity, to whatever extent they can, they ought to prepare, not just for, obviously, for the kind of terrible circumstances that we're seeing right now in Texas, but this other stuff, the coming of Antichrist, this is going to be a whole different new kind of level, and people need to be ready. So anyway, all right, I know we're not here to talk about that today, and the whole truth is, you know, how I got started really is, how did I get started on this subject matter? How did we wind up in the Four Corners area? You know, it seems like that's been a couple of years ago to me now, but it wasn't. It wasn't even a year ago. And here's me, you, Timothy Alberino, the whole Skywatch Television team, the Defender Publishing team, your group. You're flying in this big helicopter into the Valley of the Gods. How did we wind up in that place, and what were we doing there? Now, that's part of what this conference is going to be about, but it really goes to some much deeper questions, not just the bones of the giants. That's part of it. That's important. That's part of American history, and that also tells us a whole lot that dates back to the watchers who descended in the days of Jared, what they were doing, but also what Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah. You quoted that a moment ago, what they intend to do in the future. But it isn't just them. It's their devotees. How many people realize that in Washington, D.C. today, there are people who are making concerted efforts to try to bring about the revival of the spirit of the Watchers, the Nephilim, the king of the giants that the book of Revelation says is bound in the bottomless pit for the time being? This is stuff that puts Hollywood to shame. They can't make film. They can't make movies that are as exotic and frankly terrifying as what the future of the world is set to behold. And this is why people are going to be frozen in their tracks and, frankly, be susceptible to the lies of Antichrist and to the lies of the anti-church that are those ones that are going to cast their lot for the destruction of believers who otherwise are giving them the truth, and that's why they need to get the truth now. So now for me, how did I get started into all this? I'm not going to go into all this stuff about me and Chris Putnam, but if people listening to this program are not aware, I think Joe and Doug, I think you said something about Chris Putnam when he passed away.
Yes, sir, we did.
Yeah,
yes.
And I appreciate that so much. How I got into this line of thought and then began to appreciate the importance of it, I'm speaking at the Strategic Perspectives Conference for our good friend Chuck Misler about 5 years ago now, probably. My son and I were standing in the back room, and we're talking about how weird it is that you have this 900-year-old Catholic prophecy, and no matter what you make of it, you believe it, you don't believe it, you think it was all a big hoax, it didn't matter. It had historical importance because it's a 900-year-old Catholic prophecy that certainly was held in high esteem by even some of the popes. And my son and I, Joe Artis, we're talking about that, and we're saying, isn't it weird that there's only 112 lines, and Pope number 111, Pope Benedict XVI, is the Pope right now, but if he dies or if he steps aside, the very next guy is going to be the final one in this prophecy, and nobody has written a thorough examination of this prophecy of the popes. And so I'm a publisher, so I'm always thinking about, you know, the types of things that should be published. And Joe started really encouraging me, you know, Dad, you're a publisher, you really ought to put together an outline and write something on this. And it, this is how preternatural all this began, and literally supernatural events began clicking off one after the other. It's at that moment I go up to my hotel room because I'm waiting on my opportunity to speak. Somebody like Joel Richardson or somebody was up there speaking. And I went up to my hotel room to send myself an email with the note ideas that me and Joe had talked about the prophecy of the popes and why I should publish a book about it. And I open up my email account, and I have an email from a guy that I've never met before, and I've only ever even just barely heard. I knew he had a blog or something. I wasn't even sure about it. But I had an email from this guy named Chris Putnam, and he wanted to know if he could use the only paragraph that I had ever written, and I had written it all the way back in 2009, so 8 years ago, one paragraph, all I ever wrote, where I said, you know, the people with the year 2012 fascination, the Maya and all that, wouldn't it be interesting if the prophecy of the popes also kind of unrolled at this same time? And so I got this email from Chris Putnam, and he wants to know, hey, Tom, my name's Chris Putnam. I'm in Bible college. I'm writing a term paper. Can I use the paragraph in my term paper that you wrote, whenever I wrote it? And I emailed him back, and I said, Chris, you can't believe the timing of your inquiry. I said, I was just now talking to my son about the prophecy of the Pope, which I haven't even thought about in years, and I was getting ready to produce an outline. Anyway, I don't want to give it to you blow by blow, but a long story short, a whole series of events put me and Chris Putnam together. We decided to write that book together. During our investigation, we had our own reasons why we came to believe that Pope Benedict XVI was going to step down. We published this. We're on TV talking about it. You can look up the YouTubes where a year before the event, we said we believe that Pope Benedict XVI is going to retire. He's going to cite health reasons for doing it to open the door for the arrival of the final pope and the final pope prophecies, Pope number 112. And furthermore, we went out on a limb. We said, we think this is going to happen in April of 2012. Well, when April of 2012 came and went, it didn't appear that the Benedict was going to retire. We thought, well, we missed the date, but we still think the book's valid. But then February 28th, 2013, Benedict announces his resignation as Pope, and that very same day, the news outlet for the Vatican, the El Observatore Romano, they gave an interview to the New York Times, you can still Google this and read it, in which they admitted that Pope Francis had secretly retired. April 2012, months earlier, he had done it privately after he returned from a trip in March of 2012. He had done it privately with the Curia, because if you recall, at that time was the whole Vatileaks scandal, where they were releasing different documents being stole out of the Pope's office and all that. So they were very careful about it. And so we had got the month and the year correct. Now, it is true that Chris and I both had some Vatican, I wouldn't even say they're Vatican insiders, they were conservative cardinals, two of them. Very conservative. These guys, by the way, do not like Pope Francis, I'll tell you that. They gave us a little bit of information, but a lot of the other part of it was just Hagman level, you know, get down in the dirt, investigation, go through thousands of pages of documentation, and we finally came up with that conclusion. Well, anyway, when we got that date right, man, my phone was ringing off the hook. We had people everywhere that was wanting us, we had people that even wanted us to go to Rome, but we were warned not to do it, so we didn't go to Rome. But the movie, The Final Pope, was made about it, just a whole lot of stuff, right, because we got that date correct. But here's the thing, I'm saying all that to say this, I want to bring it to the unearthing the lost world of the Cloud Eaters. And what put me on this path was, while Putnam then and I were out there doing all these programs, right, television, radio, and wherever there was opportunity for people to call in and ask questions, we were surprised that more often than not, they weren't asking us about the prophecy of the Pope. They were intrigued with that, but what they were asking us was, what do you make of the Vatican being out there now, talking so much about extraterrestrial intelligence and saying that they would baptize aliens? Do you remember that? Because it was around 2009 that the Vatican hosted this astrobiology study week. So around the same time that we're working on this book and we're out there talking, they had hosted this astrobiology study week. And it was really strange because they called together leaders from academia, geologists, nuclear physicists, quantum physicist. I don't even think they were using the term astrobiology in 2009, but that's what they would be today. People that study deep space with the question of, you know, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence study. They called all these people together from around the world, and they only had one question. Come to Rome, because we want to discourse for a week of study on one question, and it was this. And people can Google this. I know it sounds fantastic, but it's true. The one question, what is the impact on faith and religion going to be given the disclosure or the discovery of advanced extraterrestrial intelligence? It was only 90 days later that the oldest scientific body in the world, the Royal Society, they come together. They, too, convene all these people from around the world, including theologians, and asked the very same question. This is a 350th year anniversary, the oldest scientific body on Earth,
You know, you've got the queen, the queen, I forget what he's even called, but he's the astronomer royal. Got all these people there, and they're asking this question: what is the impact on faith going to be? So, you know, all around the world now, suddenly everybody's asking this question. They're calling into the shows Chris and I are doing. They're contacting the Vatican, but and the Vatican so sends out these two primary astronomers for the church, Jose Gabriel Funes, who at that time was the head of the Vatican Observatory Research Group, and Guy Consolmagno, who was the Pope's personal astronomer and the keeper of their asteroid fragment collections, who today is the head of the Vatican Observatory Research Group. And for the last year, by the way, guess what? He's been on a tour going around the world. He wrote a book, and he's doing these big lectures at universities, and guess what the name of the lecture is? Would you baptize an alien? And so this whole conversation got out there, but here's what was weird about this. They started talking about would you baptize an alien, and Pope Benedict said he would. You notice that Pope Francis, as soon as he was elected, said that if the little green man landed on the White House lawn tomorrow, he would baptize an alien. So they started talking about that kind of stuff. But then they started ratcheting it up. It started changing little by little. It's very subtle how they kind of introduce people to the idea and what's in philosophy what's called the Fabian process of gradualism. They very slowly take people from one line of thinking, get you comfortable with it, then they take you to another line of thinking, then or the Hegelian dialect. They take you to a different line of thinking until eventually you'll accept something that in the beginning you wouldn't even imagined you would have believed. So they're saying, yeah, I mean, we're just talking theoretically. The Vatican's had problems in the past persecuting scientists, so we want to get out ahead of all this and just say that with all these exo-worlds that are being discovered, that if we detect alien intelligence, we would be willing to baptize them in the Catholic faith. Then, a few months later, they ratchet it up to a different place, and Jose Funes comes out and he gives this interview, and he says, now, people have asked, would the detection of extraterrestrial intelligence, would this challenge the authority of the Roman Catholic Church? And he said, no, it would not, because these would be our space brothers, because if they're part of creation, then the God that we serve created them. Then, a couple of months later, he ratchets it up a little further, and he says, not only would it not be against the faith to believe in extraterrestrial intelligence, but he said, the fact is, the heresy would be if you don't believe in extraterrestrial intelligence, because that would be to put limits on God's creative ability. And I know we're going to hit a break here in a minute, so let me just give you a couple more. They then ratcheted up, now, a process of this 1 year, they ratcheted up even further, and they start saying, now, if we come into contact with the extraterrestrials, it might not be us baptizing them after all. Why? Because what we know about ourselves is that we are fallen. But we couldn't naturally assume necessarily that the aliens are fallen, and if they're unfallen, then they're closer to God than we are, and they have a better understanding of the Godhead and of the gospel and everything else. Then they ratcheted it up to a completely different place and even wrote a paper, an Opus Dei level paper, that's still being evaluated in Rome, being considered as official doctrine for the Pope's university, in which they went so far as to say, you know, when the aliens come here, we're not going to be baptizing them. They're going to be baptizing us into their faith. And frankly, we might have to rewrite, reconsider everything we've ever thought we knew. This is what they're working on right now. If information from an extraterrestrial source would challenge what we think we know about the gospel, and if it could be verified, I don't know how you verify this, right? But if it can be verified as being legitimate, then we may have to rethink and rewrite everything we've ever thought we knew about the gospel. So, when we come back from the break, I can tell you then how that kind of discussion, led me and Chris Putnam to going to the top of Mount Graham, and how ultimately that led all of us, me, Steve, all of us, to the Four Corners area and the fantastic discoveries that we made there.
Yeah, and Steve, we've got about a minute 50 before the top of the hour break. Do you want to take it?
Take a minute 50? In Branson, I'm going to be covering the pre-Adamic angelic civilization, which all myths, legends, and all of the oral traditions speak about the Golden Age. Then I'm moving into Mars. Mars is really important because I'm dealing with astral catastrophism. Astral catastrophism is something that goes beyond Immanuel Velikovsky's Worlds in Collision. Most people can't even understand that the heavens, people on Earth were terrified by the cataclysms they had seen. The orbital physics that we now see when we see the picture of the universe aren't the same that existed 700 years before Jesus was born. And so, and by the way, I don't buy BCE and all that stuff, you know. I say before the birth of Jesus and after the resurrection of Jesus. I don't mean to be difficult, but I refuse to allow them to control the narrative. So what I'll be presenting, Tom, is I put together a pretty amazing, actually J.D. Hopwood did the editing of this and stuff, but he followed my chapter that came right out of, guess where, Cloud Eaters. So Cloud Eaters, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, are the Native Americans' term for, and you guessed it, giants that are returning. So when people say to me, how did you get started, Genesis, the book of Genesis, so was opened up to me by the, I would say, the mercy of God. I was so stupid, Doug. I couldn't believe in anything when I first got saved until two people came and laid their hands on me from a Bible school saying God sent them. People can, you know, argue with that all the time. And they do argue with me. But look, I went from the guttermost to the uttermost with zero knowledge of anything to a passion to learn the Word of God and listen to all the great teachers of their day, of my day, in those days. I mean, these were guys that were, you know, just magnificent teachers of the Word of God. Derek Prince and Leonard Ravenhill and all the different people. And I mean, Bob Mumford, Great Sense of Humor, Charles Simpson. I mean, the who's who that God was using to teach his people that there's a day coming when the Scriptures will be open to them. So that's kind of my basic getting it together.
It's an amazing story, too. Folks, we're going to be right back. Tom Horn and Steve Quayle. What an amazing segment. What an amazing two men. Stay right where you're at. Network break, 3 minutes.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentations. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.